When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
All right. Welcome to the Jillian Michaels Show.
You know, yeah, I gotta reset the levels.
Okay. What, you're so cruel.
I feel like you're getting too popular.
Look at and the one over there with the gray hair.
The one with the funny language. Yeah, the funny talker. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. You're starting to gain popularity. I'm getting requests for a Janice Twitter account. I don't know how I feel about it.
Like this.
Wait a minute. I'm the star here.
Oh my God, yeah. You're a brat.
Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
Do you have a Twitter account, by the way?
No, I don't. Do I have to for you?
I think you might. The people want it.
The people? That's right. And we're here for the people.
Yes.
Remember? I think you should change the name of the show from the Jillian Michaels Show to We Are Here for the People.
The People's Hour?
The People's Hour.
The People's Hour. What's your damn Twitter account?
I'll figure that out. I'm just not techno savvy. Don't push me with that because it scares me. The whole thing scares me.
What?
This isn't about me. This is about the show. Let's start the show.
Yeah. But you're part of, but you're not an important part of the show. I want you to know that you're, what's that
I'm
word?
Not expendable. An important part. I'm not sure. I'll show you expendable.
Yeah. All right. Fine. All right. So, you know, that brings me to the topic that I wanted to open with today, which is about changing your loved ones. For example, me wanting Janice to be more techno savvy, her to move into the
or firing me
the 21st. Threats will get you far. So honestly, I have been getting a lot of questions from you guys online on JillianMichaels.com, on the message boards, my Facebook, on my Twitter about. You know, I've got the parent, I've got the husband, I've got the wife, I've got the sibling, I've got the best friend who's XYZ, smokes too much, drinks too much, eats too much. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? It's this sort of, you know, obviously very concerned cry for help. So let's talk about it. First of all, you are not going to be able to change someone. It is their decision whether or not they want to change. You can influence that decision. You can inspire or instigate or catalyze. Couldn't pick the right word, so went with all three. That decision. But ultimately, it must be theirs. intrinsically. It must come from inside of them, expressed externally in order for it to be a lasting, meaningful change. So how do you help? Good question. Can you help? Also kind of a good question. So, yeah, you can help sometimes. And there are things you can do. But before I engage in that topic of conversation with you, I want you to appreciate that just because you cannot change someone does not mean that you do not have value, does not mean that you do not love them, does not mean that you weren't enough to make them change. I've even seen, you know, children of alcoholics or drug addicts. It's like, they didn't love me enough to quit. They didn't love me enough to get better. I wasn't enough for them to want health and happiness. Baloney. It has nothing to do with you. All right. I'm really trying not to swear. How's the baloney thing going over? You think?
Yeah,
this doesn't sound really like kind of weak. I feel like it's a weak word. I really want to say like bull S is what I really wanted to say. All right. Well, baloney. yeah. Okay, so this has nothing to do with you. Their shortcomings and their sort of trajectory in life is not your fault or your responsibility. I can understand why you would care. And your first bet here is to lead by example. So whatever it is, if you're healthier, if you're not smoking, if you're happier, if you're pursuing your goals in your career, if you're in a healthy relationship, if you're eating well and physically healthy, all of those things can serve as a source of inspiration and motivation for someone. It can make them say, oh, that looks nice. I'd like to have that. And it can spark the desire in them. If that isn't enough, you do have the ability to engage in a leading conversation. And what I mean by that is, again, you this is highly manipulative, but ultimately if it's for someone's well-being, then, you know, I'm trusting your intentions here. You have the ability to kind of ask leading questions that help them arrive at a conclusion where they find the desire to change. So, for example, say you're talking to a parent who's unhealthy, and it's like, Mom, you know, what is it that you want for yourself? You're X years of age. You know, you have all this time still left ahead of you. Like, what do you see yourself doing in that time? What is your ultimate goal? And kind of get that person talking about what they want. And it's like, do you see yourself, you know, at your grandchild's graduation? Do you see yourself falling in love again, Mom? Do you see yourself dating again? Do you see yourself going out and dancing, you know, with your friends again? Do you see? And you kind of get them to attach and gauge, envision a healthier life or the goal that you would like to see them embrace. So that the idea kind of takes root, it manifests, and they believe it to be their own. Because when you push someone into something, the first thing they're going to do is push back in the opposite direction. And often it can be interpreted as conditional love. You think there's something wrong with them. You think they're not good enough. You need to change them. And they will interpret that unconsciously and often rebel. So, you know, it's like you have to let them arrive at this idea organically, but you can accelerate that process and you can guide it with these leading questions. And of course, leading by example. No matter who it is, whether it's your husband, is like, babe, how do you see our relationship in 10 years? You know, where do you see us as old people? You know, how do you see us living our lives? Is it healthy vacations where we're, you know, hiking the Nepali coast in Kauai? Or are we, you know, 50 pounds overweight and sitting in front of the TV, you know, for the rest of our lives? Like, where do you see us? And then if and when you can get that person to the place where they are ready to embrace change, then you can't presume that you know how to help and support them. Because what might help and support you may be annoying to someone else. So, for example, you might want someone to say, let's go walking, let's go running, let's get outside together. And that might inspire and encourage you and motivate you. But for someone else, they might find it annoying and pestering, and they might not want to hear it. Instead, they might want you to research healthy recipes online and help them make healthy meals for the week. Ask that person, once they've attached that outcome, I just want you to know I support you. I love you. I'm here for you no matter what. And if you want any help pursuing this goal of yours. You know, I'm here for you. And if so, how can I best help you? What do you think would be the most helpful for you? Now, all that said, if that person refuses to change, you need to remind yourself that, again, this is about them and their journey and their evolution. It is not about you or your shortcomings or your lack of persuasive ability. And you're going to have to come to a place within yourself of surrender where it's enough. And focus that energy internally on you, on becoming the best you that you can be, the most successful in your profession, doing something that you love for work, the most healthy in your romantic relationships, the most healthy as you can become physically and emotionally. Because of course, Janice, what in the hell are you doing over there?
I was just getting a little snack. Sorry. But my hand slipped. I'm so sorry. You were right in a good roll there, and I am sorry. So sorry. I was going to go back down here to the snacks. Okay, I'm down here. Thank you,
Paul. Where was I?
It was good. No, I'm a professional. I'm a professional producer.
We gotta take a break.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
No, but you were on a nice roll, though.
No, all right, here we go. I do think I was wrapping it up. The truth of the matter is this. Basically, it's like focus that stuff inward. And just know that, you know, you channel that energy to where it's gonna have the most positive effect. And when you're your strongest and your healthiest and your happiest that you can be in that moment, you're going to inspire people. And it might not be your loved one, but it could be, you know, somewhere where you least expect it. It could have the most dramatic impact possible. So stay focused and continue to put that positive energy in the world. Follow those steps. And if in effect, if they are ultimately ineffective, just remember the bigger picture and continue to lead by example. There. All right, Janice, eat for God's sake. We're going to take a break and think about what to talk about next. All right, we're back. Janice has been nourished. Thank God.
You know, just, you're going to get a little heavy now, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to get a little heavy. I want to talk to you guys about GMOs.
Okay.
This is becoming quite the hot topic, quite the issue on the forefront right now. What is a GMO?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know. A GMO is a genetically modified organism. Very complicated issue that's happening in the food supply right now. And I try to explain to you some of the logic, but we have basically genetically modified crops, and now they're even genetically modifying animals. A big incentive for this is, of course, economics. You know, making fish fatter, heavier, bigger. Mm-hmm. Why? More money, of course. Crops, same situation. It's like, you know, we own the crop, you know. We own the seed for the crop, and I'll give you an example. Let's take soy or corn, for example. Both are subsidized crops. In other words, the government pays farmers to grow these crops.
Because corn's in everything.
Exactly. Sorry. Corn and soy are in, thank you, everything. Yeah. Now, here's the logic behind it. Oh, we genetically modified these crops because farmers have weeds, and so now you could spray all of this herbicide, essentially pesticides, on the crops, and the plant won't die, but everything else around the plant will die. And I mean everything. Everything in the soil, everything. All the weeds, all the other plants, all will die. The problem with this, of course, is that now you've got 20 times the amount of pesticides on the crops. Because they have been able to, that's the one thing that they've genetically modified, is that this plant can now, won't die off of the pesticide. You and I will. We'll die from it. It'll cause infertility and cancer, and it'll do all kinds of damage to the planet. But the plant won't die.
Fantastic.
So the farmer doesn't have to hire people to go out there and, like, you know, weed the field, so to speak, or whatever it's called. That's one reason that we do it in those types of crops. But again, you know, you'll see the same things in salmon and what have you. One of the things that they'll try to tell you is, okay, well, you know, we wanted a, this is hypothetical, but we want a tomato that, you know, is going to be able to travel long distances without, you know, going bad, or an apple that won't turn brown when you bite into it. So we injected it with a jellyfish gene. And I mean, So it's kind of wild and crazy. So it's a brand new frontier. It is not being regulated for the most part. It is People do not have to label their foods that they are genetically modified. They don't have to put that on the label. So what you really do need to look for is non-GMO project. You need to look for that label on your foods. Of course, if they're organic, they're non-GMO. What's the threat? What's the threat? Are genetically modified foods dangerous to us as people? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. And the reason for this is because the companies that own the patent on the genetically modified seed or the genetically modified animal DNA have to grant you the permission to study their product. Which, of course, you know, they're either funding it so they control the results or they're not granting permission. We don't know yet. What we have seen are preliminary studies where animals are ingesting genetically modified organisms. There are health issues. There have been all kinds of health hazards in human beings. We haven't tested it yet. Ironically, though, with GMOs, very often the issue may turn up in the place that you absolutely least expect it. We don't know what the environmental hazard of this is going to be, because once you put these genes into the environment, they're on the loose. Mm. And we don't know how they're going to interact with other species that eat them, that cross-pollinate with other plants. We don't know. I'll give you an example. We were spraying DDT, this pesticide to kill mosquitoes. And we thought, okay, well, this is relatively harmless to people, DDT. We're going to spray. We're going to kill all these mosquitoes. And, you know, people are going to live. It's going to be fine. So the birds started eating all the dead mosquitoes from the DDT. And the birds, the whole entire bird population would crash in that area because something in the chemical of the DDT made their eggs, the shell of their eggs, totally soft. Birds would sit on their eggs. Eggs would just crush, crumble. So the problem with the GMOs is you're releasing these totally unnatural strains of genetics into the world. And this is not to be thought of as like, oh, we cross-pollinate plants. No. This is not like I took one gene from this rose and, you know, crossed it with that rose. This is I took the genetics of a flounder and I put it into a strawberry. That's what we're talking about. This is playing God, quite literally. And so the effects on our human health and the effects on the environment are totally unknown. Could be utterly disastrous. We have absolutely no idea. Now, here's what we do know. Here's what I can tell you. So our subsidized crops, our corn and our soy that are in friggin' everything, every damn processed food you pick up is going to say corn or soy. They are heavily, heavily covered in pesticides. The reason that these companies are genetically modifying these crops is to sell pesticides. They're chemical companies. That's what they do by nature. So, for example, ironically, you'll look at a company like Bayer. These are companies that were creating chemical warfare back in World War II in Vietnam. Some of the same companies that created Agent Orange. And when these wars were over, it was like, well, what do we do with all of this research and all of these chemicals? Oh, I know. Let's create herbicides and pesticides. Well, don't be fooled. They are incredibly dangerous and toxic to human beings. Again, as I mentioned earlier, being responsible for cancer, infertility, all kinds of issues with regard to human health. And in addition, very, very dangerous to the environment. So, for example, you're spraying all of these pesticides on these crops. Think of it like this. The soil on the planet, the soil is like the planet's skin, okay? The soil is alive. And what I mean by that is that if you scooped up a handful of soil, it has more microorganisms living in it than there are people on the planet. And these microorganisms are responsible for trapping greenhouse gases. So, you know, the plants trap carbon, a lot of the microorganisms in the soil trap all these greenhouse gases. When you're spraying these pesticides and these herbicides on the crops, you're killing all the microorganisms in the soil. So now, and of course, we're in the middle of deforestation. So with all this happening, you're accelerating our global warming problem, our ability to trap these greenhouse gases and causing cancer and causing infertility, all so that these companies can sell their pesticide, their herbicide. Last but not least, thought on this, and don't worry, I'm going to tell you what to do because I know it's scary, but you should know it. Because the soil is dead. It literally is dead. You kill it, all those little microorganisms, and the plants get their nutrients from the soil. this food doesn't have nutrient value. So that whole argument of like, why do I have to supplement? Can I just get my nutrients from my food? No, not when your soil's dead. Where do you think the plants get the nutrients from? They're pulling it from the soil. That's why you see people who do their own gardening, they compost. What that means is you take all of your vegetable, fruit scraps, yard waste, and what have you, you compost it because all those nutrients decomposed go back into the soil, back into the plant, and back into you. If the soil's dead, there's no nutrients in the produce. In addition, the plant can't grow because it has no nutrients. So now they're spraying, again, their chemical, lucky them, what a monopoly. They're spraying a synthetic fertilizer, okay, on the crops. It's kind of like crack for plants. It doesn't have nutrients in it, but it has ammonia in it. The plant grows like banana face, like it's cracked out of its mind. Runs off into the oceans, runs from, you know, from the soil into the rivers into the oceans. The plankton eat it and create something called hypoxia. And basically what happened is these little plant, little microorganism plants in the ocean grow like crazy and suffocate sea life, except for jellyfish, for hundreds and hundreds of miles. So this is a big deal. The ramifications of these GMOs are serious business. What we need to be doing right now is becoming aware of this problem. We need to be fighting this by letting our representatives know in the Senate, our congresspeople, this is not okay. We do not support this. We want this regulated. It is very, very important. And we want to know what foods are GMO, because right now they do not have to tell you. You need to look for non-GMO. That's the key. Or buy local. Go to the farmer's market. Know who you're buying your food from. It's cheaper anyway. Join a community-supported agriculture in your area. You can go to localharvest.org and look for a CSA, community-supported agriculture, in your area where you can get fresh local fruits and vegetables, non-GMO, obviously, in your area, and it'll be significantly cheaper than if you bought stuff in the grocery store. And I want you guys to look for the non-GMO product stamp on your food if it's processed. Okay, so for example, you guys know I love the So Delicious coconut milk. If you look on it, it says non-GMO project verified. Very important. I want you to look out for that. And I want you to take action right now and sign this petition to go against genetically modified alfalfa, which sounds like it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal because it's fed to all of our livestock, which we then go eat. And this is how we take action, guys. We vote with our dollars and we let our voices be heard to the people that are supposedly representing us. So my assistant happens to be here. I made her sign this. Rosie, what's that site? All right, here, Rosie.
It's http://ota.capwiz.com/OTA/issues/alert ALERTID equals 2474751.
Should I stick the pen in my eye now? Oh, or maybe a little bit late?
All right, you know what? Sorry. Go to my Facebook page.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Well, I didn't know. Why did you signal me that it was that bad?
You know, if only everybody could have seen your face. Just
I
that
was
it was just like,
oh my God, she's still going. I was like, this is a bomb.
Are you still talking?
I'm like, this is supposed to be accessible. This is not accessible. Oh tip.
I was expecting like alfalfa.com. Save alfalfa or something.
Oh my God. /double_ S capital Q 3159er.
So you're going to make it easy somehow.
Oh my God. All right. On my Facebook page.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I put a link up on my Facebook page. Around what date, Rosie?
This was on February 1st.
Okay, yeah. February 1st on my Facebook page. You'll find the link to the petition. Sign it. Sign it. We need to speak together with one voice. We need to fight back. Very important. Now you know. Information is power. What now? Calls?
Yeah, let's do some calls.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Let's do some calls.
All right. /calls. Elizabeth in San Diego, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jillian. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have a question for you about working out early in the morning.
Okay.
I work out actually twice a day.
Wow.
But right when I wake up in the morning, I usually do cardio.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what I should be eating, if anything, before a cardio workout.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you. I don't like people to work out on an empty stomach. Here's the logic. Back in the day, the thought process was, if we don't have blood sugar, we're going to go right into our fat stores more readily. And that was kind of the idea. But the truth of the matter is that's just the stupidest thing in the world. It's not true. So you're always going to burn a little bit of fat and a little bit of sugar during your workouts. You can maximize it. So, for example, let's say you're doing weight training and cardio. Mm-hmm. It's always best to do weight training first because you're utilizing that readily available blood sugar or the glycogen, the sugar that's been stored in your muscle, the sugar that's been stored in your muscles. Mm-hmm. First, you'll use a higher quantity of that, and after about 20 minutes, you've depleted the readily available source of it, and you'll go into your fat burning more rapidly. And if you're lifting weights, you want to have power.
Right.
Because intensity is key to burning more calories. And it's also key to getting results, keeping your muscles lean, progressing your level of fitness. Mm-hmm. So especially if you're lifting weights, you want to make sure that you have some blood sugar available. That said, you run the risk of when you don't eat, if you don't have available blood sugar, your body will find it. And it will do that by converting muscle to energy.
I see.
And you do not want that. So mm-hmm. fat doesn't get turned into blood sugar. You can utilize fat, but muscle can be digested in place of having readily available blood sugar. Digested, wrong word. Literally cannibalized, I guess, is the word I'm sort of looking for. You can essentially cannibalize your own muscle tissue. So you want to make sure that you have the right amount of protein and carbs, about 45 minutes to an hour before you exercise. It could be a yogurt with a little bit of fruit in it. It could be a banana and a handful of almonds. It could be an Ezekiel English muffin with some almond butter on top of it. Cereal and a whole grain cereal in a coconut milk or whatever. With dairy, I always prefer it to be organic. So if you're going with regular dairy, that's why I always say coconut milk, because a lot of people give me grief when I say organic, but I don't want you having dairy if it's not. So the choice is yours. With that said, it's the most advantageous. And don't eat too much and don't eat too soon to working out, because then all the blood will be in your stomach to digest your food. Mm-hmm. And you won't be able to properly oxygenate your body and you can get cramps. So 45 minutes to an hour, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go bananas. It could even be like a whey protein shake or something of that nature, but just enough so that you have the energy to power through your workout, which is ultimately going to make you burn more calories, and that you're not compromising muscle during your training.
Got it.
Okay.
Well, I very much appreciate it.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Amy in Virginia, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jillian.
How you doing?
I'm excited to be here. Are you kidding?
It's
a great birthday present.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old?
I'm 38.
38, that's not old. You're like a year older than me. Well, like a roundabout. I'm like, oh, dear God.
Better than the alternative, right? That's my theory.
Exactly.
Well, my question is, I have a 4-year-old and a 12-month-old at home, and my problem is, how do I include them in our exercise and diet program? It's really hard.
Okay, the 12-month-old is going to be a challenge.
Well, that's easy, but my 4-year-old has horrible habits.
Oh, all right. When it comes to it, actually, I'm so glad you're reaching out to me now. While they're so young, because you have the ability to really intercept any unhealthy habits that could form and guide these kids in the right direction. So, the first thing is how's your health?
that's not so great either.
Okay.
I'm actually trying to figure out what kind of diet to go on, because I need to lose like 60, 70 pounds and my husband needs to lose 100.
You don't need a what kind of diet. There is no what kind of diet. Ready? It's really simple. You just need to count calories. Period. And I know that sounds really tedious and really annoying, but the truth of the matter is that it's like we're creatures of habit. We eat the same 5 things for breakfast, same 5 things for dinner, same 5 things for lunch, same 5 things for a snack. And even then, that's a lot. That's a lot of versatility. So with that said, if you spend a couple of weeks being like, these are my 5 breakfasts, not even that, you could do it in a day. These are my 5 breakfasts. I figured out how many calories are in them. These are my 5 dinners. That's how many calories are in those. Or, you'll know. And then you say, okay, I'm going to eat, you know, 1,400 calories today, and I'm going to pop in an exercise DVD. And you know, over time, you're going to lose weight, period. So what I don't want you doing is going on any kind of fad diet, because it's not sustainable and it won't last. And then when your weight loss journey is over and you've reached your healthy weight, all you're going to do is just change your calorie allowance. So then at that point, you might start eating, you know, 1,800 to 2,000 calories a day on the days that you work out, and, you know, and a little bit less when you're not. So I just, when you start thinking of extremes, that sets up a bad pattern of like, do I cut carbs or do I go on the, you know, the one day diet, or do I go on the, you know, the watermelon diet? I mean, it's like, forget it.
I know. I actually have your website up this morning, and I decided I was going to join your Jillian Michaels thing.
How about this? How about this? I'm going to get your information offline when this call's over, so you don't need to broadcast your personal contact information to the world. And I will give you a free membership, okay?
Thank you.
Follow that, and there's incredibly, you know, on there you'll have recipes. I create workouts for you. I tell you how many calories to eat. You'll have access to calorie counters, food journals, message boards with people who I call super users on there, that are almost like emissaries and ambassadors that go on and answer questions before I can even answer questions. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't even answer questions on my own boards anymore because they get to them before I could get to them.
Well, plus I'm sure you have a million people listening to you too.
Oh, so. I love you. But when it comes to the diet, I want you to just start educating yourself about eating better quality foods whenever possible, but first and foremost, understanding the energy equation of weight loss. Now, when it comes to the kids, the best thing you're going to be able to do for them is get your health in line. They're going to follow your example. So if you're healthy, they're going to be healthy. If you're active, they're going to be active. You know, and if you... Okay, I had kind of an argument with a friend the other day about two cereals, all right? One cereal in the house was... you know, like, I had artificial this and bad that, and, you know, bad artificial coloring and all this junk in it. And another one was natural. And she's like, well, my kid won't eat the natural one. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, she prefers the other one. I was like, well, take the other one out of the house and she won't know the difference.
It's the pictures, too. You know, the good marketing with the pictures. Oh, I think, you know, Fruit Loops because of the toucans on there.
You know,
they really do good marketing with the kids and the junk. And
what you
got to
do
hard.
Is you just take it out of the house. You take it out of the house because you know something? I know the company that has Fruit Loops, and guess what they have? They have a product by Cascadia Farms. I think they might even be called like Fruity Loops or something like that. that have nothing artificial in them. And so it's a matter of you buying that product instead. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you saying, okay, we don't have donuts in the house for breakfast. You know, we have a whole grain blueberry muffin, and or your, you know, you are the parent. So if you're eating,
I know,
you know what I'm saying? If you're eating the whole grain, English muffin with almond butter on top, they're going to eat it. You know, here's another thing that I eat a lot. I have these Nature's Path waffles that I've become obsessed with. And they're like 80 calories. Are they a superfood? No. Are they going to kill me? No. I put a half a banana on there. I got a tablespoon of maple syrup, and it's like moderation. Balance. You know what I mean? I have like 200-300 calories for breakfast. There's no toxins in it. I'm off. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm going. So what you need to do is prioritize your health. So when you're eating healthy food in healthy quantities, your kids, that's what's going to be available to them. That's what they're going to see. You're their primary role model. And in turn, get physical with them. Instead of watching TV with them, you know, play Wii with them or Xbox Kinect. You know, play
tennis. Well, you know what I did yesterday? This is hysterical. When I finally made the decision that I was going to really, because, you know, with the birthday parties and stuff.
Of course.
I just decided to do this for myself, but I put in one of your DVDs that I have that I got for Christmas because I've been on this Jillian Michaels kick. And so Denny's like, I'm like, Denny, it's Jillian Michaels. We got to watch her. We got to see what this is, right? I didn't like to really have out my workout clothes. So he's like, okay, so we sit down. And I'm like, well, let's try and do some of this. I think it was like the 20-minute workout. I said, let's just preview it. So funny because he was sitting in front of the TV trying to do your exercises.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was sitting on him in the back, and he kept looking to make sure I was
doing it. You were doing it.
It was hysterical.
I like this kid. This is my kind of kid. I got to tell you, I cannot... It makes me a little nervous because I think I may have once or twice said like a dirty word like ass or something in Ripped in 30 because I can't remember. I don't want to go back and relive it. It was so hellish to shoot. But it makes me so nervous because all these kids are doing my exercise DVDs with their parents. I've got toddlers, like, you know, I get these videos of 2-year-olds and they're like,
Jillian says ass.
Yes.
Jillian
it's like, I know. It's just, I'm terrified. I'm like, oh my God. And these kids are like, hey, Johnny, on the friggin' on my Facebook thing, and it's like I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna have to have a sensor on there. But with that said, I think you've got the right idea, buddy. You're making it fun for him. He's joining you. He sees you being active and healthy. And then when you have the information about food, you're going to be empowered. So it's not going to be like, I don't know, I stopped eating carbs and it didn't work or blah, 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 blah. Or, you know, you're engaging in these kind of fad diets that sort of lead you down a primrose path to nowhere. What is a primrose path?
I don't know, but it sounds quite lovely.
You've heard that cliche, though, right? I'm not just out of left field with it.
You know what? Amy and I don't know what you're talking about.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. I think it means something to the effect of like, you know, you kind of get led down this road where it looks all rosy and perfect. And then, you end up kind of nowhere feeling lost and confused.
I believe it's down the garden path.
Is it down the garden
path? Garden path.
Where's the primrose thing come from?
I don't, you know what I mean.
It's
you probably
offshoot of the garden.
It's Rosie, the offshoot, yeah.
Google primrose path and find out what the hell, where if I'm just pulled that out of the ether or if it means something.
I'll
get back to you on the primrose thing. So again, that is the idea. So I want you to get informed. You're going to be able to do that on my site. I'm going to take care of you there, okay?
Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. It's my pleasure. Just think balance. Don't overthink it. And just make better choices about, the stuff that you have in the house. Because your kid is going to, is going to eat what's there. And if they want a choice, pick 2 healthy things and tell them to choose from that. Okay, honey, you want this or you want that? You know what I mean? They won't know it if it's not there. And if, again, remember, you're their primary role model. And just get the whole family healthy, and it starts with you. So this is one of the things that I always say to moms out there. Put yourself first, because even though it feels selfish, it's the best thing that you could do for your kids. Because when they see you healthy, happy, that you prioritize yourself and your life, they're going to grow up and do the same. You know, you need to make your doctor's appointments. You need to make sure you're getting enough sleep. You need to make sure that you're nurturing yourself and getting your manicure, pedicures. And you need to make sure that you're finding your workout time and taking care of yourself.
Oh, wow.
Because they're going to grow up and do that.
You just named a list of things that I don't get a chance to do at
Honey,
all.
You have to make the time.
Here.
You make the time and you recruit help. You know, you get a parent to watch the kid. You take turns babysitting kids with somebody else who has a 4-year-old or whatever kids that you know. You recruit help and you find the time. And you make it happen. And I remember, honestly, that's one of the best gifts my mother gave me is that my mother, you know, she was like, I'm getting my nails done. That's what we're doing. And I would sit in the, you know, and not necessarily that, but she would go to the gym. She would, shut up. I'm going somewhere with this. She would go to the gym. She would get her nails done. She would do her thing. And it's like, I remember a lot of my friends' moms were like, oh, you know, she's so selfish. And I was so proud of my mom.
Oh my God.
I thought my mom was so hot. She'd show up in her Jordache jeans, and I was like, I remember thinking my mom's the hot mom. I remember I was so proud of my mom because she was all her little Jordache jeans, and the body look was slamming, and she was all pretty and happy, and I was so proud of her. And as an adult, again, I don't have kids yet, but as an adult, I'm like, it's okay. To put myself first, and I don't allow myself to get run down. I make sure that I prioritize myself, and from that place, I'm better able to support, my loved ones, my friends, my family, and what have you. So where's the primrose path?
Rosie found it. It's a way of life of worldly ease and pleasure.
Aha!
And I think that's what the problem
or
is.
Pleasure.
That's
People
it!
Don't make time for themselves. Especially when they have kids and it's just crazy. Or you're crazy with your schedule too. So it's just hard.
But I find the balance. See, that's the thing. Don't let someone lead you down a primrose path telling you that life is
Oh, no.
I gotta go. You're going to make sure that's the right word, right?
She is so going to overuse this definition now.
The primrose.
Oh, my God.
The fad diet is like a primrose, Pat, but it's not. Did you get anything from this call today, buddy?
For Amy.
Yes, actually, I did. But, you know, my four-year-old boy, when I say, oh, yeah, he's going to go to preschool, and he's going to say, Mommy got a manicure, and so did I. Look at my fingers.
That'll be hot. Just make sure it's a boy color, and everything will be fine.
That's right, a boy color.
Exactly. Yeah, blue, and everything will be good.
Right. Yes, I did. I did a lot. And one more question. I just have the vegetarian thing. Is that really healthy for you? Pure vegetarian or?
No.
I just. No.
Here's my answer to you. I'm going to get ripped. All these vegans are going to go crazy. Here's the problem. It's a complicated answer, and I actually just did a whole segment on it in a show that will be coming out soon. But I want you to think of it like this. Would I rather see you eat beans and vegetables and whole grains instead of meat that's loaded with mercury, antibiotics, hormones? Yes, absolutely. Is being vegetarian better for the planet? Yeah, because of the way that we produce our food, our meat and what have you. So, yeah, now it is. Yes.
Right.
Is being a vegan, which is different than being a vegetarian, optimal with regard to health? No. No, it's not. We are omnivores. So we need a little bit of animal protein in our diet. With that said, the quality of your animal protein is critical. So my answer to this is, eat less meat. You don't need to be eating meat 7 nights a week. You don't. You really only need beef, honestly, like once every week, once every 2 weeks, if that. And then what you do is, because you're spending less money on eating meat all the time, instead you get high quality beef once every 2 weeks. And there's a website that I love called eatwild.com. And it will tell you how to buy this stuff from local farmers, high quality, that's raised ethically with no hormones, no antibiotics, you know, grass fed. So you're getting omega-3s instead of omega-6s from corn fed. And then you're eating a beef that is like a superfood. It has all the nutrients you're looking for, the omega-3s, the B, the iron, the this, the that, as opposed to the conventionally raised cattle, which is quite honestly poison because of all the hormones and the antibiotics and the you know, cows don't eat corn, so the fat content in that kind of meat is completely different and bad for you and blah, 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 blah. So less meat, higher quality. Make sense?
Yes. Then that would be great because we move like in a place that's definitely out there. It takes like 25, 30 minutes to get to a Walmart.
Oh my goodness. All right.
And I see like cow pastures and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, when I see what's on my table, I start thinking like, you know.
Eatwild.com. That is your answer.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
All right, buddy. I will talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Jillian.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Bye-bye.
Jay, will you get her information?
I will.
Get her the okay. Awesome. Now what?
Now we go. This is the end of the show. You got to say goodbye.
Primrose out.
Primrose out. Primrose out.
This is Jillian Michaels saying peace out from the Primrose Pad. Yeah.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.